song. Nocturnal vacation, unnecessary sedation. You wanna feel at home, 'cause you belong.
Welcome to my breakdown. I hope I didn't scare you. That's just the way we are when we come down. We sweat and laugh and scream.
Premier Radio Networks presents Coast to Coast AM like with George Norrie.
And tonight, the prophecies of Father Andrew Wingate. We will be with him, his website, trumpeteersmission.com, linked up with his name right now on coasttocoastam.com. Father Andrew Wingate is a Catholic priest who's part of the church through the old Roman Catholic Church. He's the founder of a new form of consecrated life in the church called the Oblates of St. Therese of the Holy Child Jesus Reformed. Father Wingate, along with all his priests and bishops or evangelists, preachers, confessors, spiritual directors, as well as exorcists, he has traveled the world studying and examining the many mystics who have been publishing private revelations concerning these end times. Father Wingate, who is a mystic himself, has received many private revelations concerning the condition of the world. We're going to talk about some of his past ones and also future ones. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Hello, Father. How are you?
I'm suffering from a cold, but I'm hanging in.
Hanging in. As a matter of fact, last night we had a story that some Korean scientists have found that a Korean cabbage called kimchi, if cooked properly and fermented, would fight off the bird flu. I have a feeling it may be one of those immune boosters.
If somebody knows how to cook and ferment it.
I cook you up a batch. Well,
yeah.
You sound like you're going to be okay for the full 3 hours?
Oh, yeah. I just have some trouble with my arms. You know, I have both my shoulders reconstructed, so...
I heard about that.
Yeah, it takes a while. My arms start tiring out holding onto the phone. But
are you doing any more exorcisms anymore?
I've got 4 lined up right now.
How much energy does that take from you? And I'm asking you that now because the priest who was the last remaining priest who was in that original exorcism of the little boy that the movie with Linda Blake turned out mm-hmm. to be, Linda Blair, rather, the father passed away a few weeks ago, 83 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The little boy apparently broke his nose during the exorcism. I mean, it gets pretty violent in there, doesn't it?
There's some where it takes, we've had where it take 6 or 7 adult men hold a person down.
My gosh. Why do you keep doing that?
I have them, one occasion that I remember being so dramatic is I was about 15 feet away, and there were 6 men holding this one particular woman down, and she spit at me. And she was laying flat on the floor. They were holding her. I was 15 feet away, and it went. And if I hadn't dodged it, it would have hit me.
Okay. Was it one of those green things?
It just went flying by. But the thing is, she was laying flat on the floor.
Oh, my God.
You know, and it's just that the people do not understand, they don't comprehend what really the devil can do with the human body.
Apparently with this little boy in this exorcism, his arms would start pulsating and you could see the words hell, for example, popping out of his skin, and then it would go away. And so, you know, they looked at him and said, this was not a fraud. There was no hoax going on here. This was real.
I've seen names appear on people's chests, shoulders, their backs. And we found out after some examination that the names were actually of the individuals that had lured these people into the corrupt life that brought about their corruption.
For those who don't believe that there's evil, what would you tell
them? It's foolish. It's very foolish not to believe in evil. You know, I was reading here recently an answer that Einstein, I think, had given to a professor. I may have the name wrong. But the professor was very anti-God and was trying to prove that there wasn't a God by saying, well, then if there is a God, he created evil because evil exists, and that makes God evil, because anything that exists is part of and from God. And so this person asked the professor if he believed in darkness, and he said yes. He said, well, how do we know darkness exists? And he said, well, we can see it. He said, no, you can't see darkness. There is nothing that we have that can register or determine that darkness is present. All we can do is know that darkness is there because of a lack of light. The less light there is, the more darkness is there. And he said, evil is the same way. The less God is present, the more evil is there. So evil is only an absence of God. It's not a creation of God. It is because man has his free will, along with the creatures, the angels, to not accept God. And by our free will of refusing God, we develop the evil.
Do you ever wonder if evil could be so strong that it could do harm to even people like you who have practiced faith for so long?
Oh, yes. You know, well, you know what happened to Bishop Malingo.
Tell me about that.
Well, he's an exorcist from Rome that I worked with, a very popular and renowned bishop from Africa, and I assisted with him, and I actually received my anointing for exorcisms from him, and he let down his guard. He was challenging Dr. Sen Moon, you know, Reverend Moon, and he was had let his guard down and became possessed himself and ended up submitting to one of their marriage ceremonies and married a woman and left the church. And the Holy Father sent him a letter and said, come to me, I want to see you. So he reported to the Holy Father, and the moment he walked in the room, the Holy Father commanded him to return to the truth and for evil to leave. And immediately he was exorcised. And he said at that moment he woke up from what he felt, what he had been enduring, what he said to him was like a nightmare. And this is what he told me. He felt like he'd been going through a nightmare. And he said it was because he let down his guard and an evil got into him.
Hey, I want to get into your prophecies in just a second for the rest of the program, but because it has been so topical lately, the condition of the Pope, I want to get your reactions on that and some other things related with it. But I've got to tell you, this guy is got a will to fight. I mean, he has looked at death in the eye several times now, and he keeps bouncing back. What's his motivation for staying so strong?
He knows his time's not up. I spoke to him in length for a half hour privately, only on one occasion, and through the intercession of a particular priest who helped me see him. And he told me he knows what God has planned for him, and he knows how long he has to go and what he's to do. And he knows also that he has to go through this illness, and then he is going to be cured of this illness, as a sign to the church that God is in control, not mankind. And that when that happens, he said he knows he has a very short time to do some things before he has to flee the church, because they will then be so determined to kill him, they'll do anything. And but that time will come right about the same time so many of the other wars come into the Middle Europe, and they invade the Vatican, and they will use that invasion as a cover to try to assassinate him. But he knows that his time's not up. He I know of a particular priest who received a letter from his office recently. He's talked to him on the phone, and that they have been told that they are to go to Rome to cure the Holy Father. And that, but it's when the Holy Father says, okay, now. It's sort of like when he finally says, okay, I've put up with enough of it, and I know God wants me now to, you know, come out of all of this.
Sure.
And so when that time comes, then they'll be going to Rome.
You don't see him ever stepping down, do you?
No way.
Okay.
It just won't happen.
He will either die and that will be it?
Well, he'll go into exile and he'll be declared as dead by the false hierarchy. Because, you know, the Vatican is so thoroughly infested by the false members of the church. And he'll stay in this exile for about 8 months. 10 months, maybe.
Is this a prediction, though?
Yeah, it's a prediction that's been made by a great number of mystics, including the Holy Father told me this, that he knows he'll stay in exile for about 8 months.
Will we think he's dead?
They'll say he's dead, yeah. And this the reason why the predictions were made is so that people will not accept the successor that's been appointed, because the successor will be appointed against rulings that have already been mandated on how the next election is to be done. The Holy Father, during his reign, has made several restrictions on how his successor must be elected. Now, that law has, those things have to be obeyed until another pope is elected.
Sure.
Then he can make whatever
rule
he wants.
He can change it.
Yeah. So, but they're going to go against that and appoint someone of illegally. And
they'll say that this pope is incapacitated or something like that?
No. They'll say John Paul II is dead, and his body has been so badly mutilated, we're not going to have an open coffin. And so-and-so has now been has been elected, and they're going to say, for what I understand, the conditions will be similar to this, that it will be so difficult to get all of the different bishops and cardinals to Rome to do the election that they'll say, we're going to do it by fax. You send in your vote.
My.
You know, and that we're going to, you know, do it that way.
Even the Vatican takes advantage of technology.
Yeah,
now, huh?
And so that they're going to actually come up with this forged and false election.
Well, if this happens, what have they done with the current pope then? Have they?
Well, he's gone.
They put him away somewhere?
He'll be hiding.
Hiding on his own, or have they captured him?
No, he's going to be hiding on his own. There's several groups already prepared to receive him and take him into exile.
Is this for his own safety?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they'll take him up into Northern Europe, and then from there, he will actually be started. From once he gets into Northern Europe, he will actually be, from that point, bilocating to all the different established religious communities around the world.
Will he then become public again?
Well, with his bilocating like that, he will make himself known so that the faithful will know he's still alive, because he's been appearing to us and he's been staying with us for weeks at a time, and then leaving and bilocating to another community and another community.
Words will start leaking out, I guess,
yeah,
that he's
and,
around.
That's right. And this is the way... God is giving...
This is a strange prophecy, Father.
Well, it's over 200 years old, except for a lot of the details. And this is... all the other prophets that I know of are all saying the very same thing. The last I've spoken to different ones, which has been about 10 years since we've all gotten together. But we agree that this is what is supposed to happen.
The pope then, who would have been named pope, obviously he
His
knew about this,
pope.
or was he tricked? Did he think the pope actually died as well, or is he part of this scheme?
He's part of it.
He's part of the scheme.
He's part of it. He will be what Scripture is calling the false prophet, or the anti-prophet.
The antichrist?
No, the anti-prophet.
Anti-prophet.
Uh-huh. And so... And then after some time goes by, then John Paul II, with the apostles of the end time, will return to the Vatican to denounce the false pope.
It's almost like a coup.
Yeah. But at that time also, the Vatican will cease to ever be the seat of the church.
Now, what if the casket of the so-called dead pope is open, and they let people freely see this body. Does
this? They won't.
So they won't. But if they do, does that throw this whole prophecy out the window?
Well, it's very much like when they didn't have an open coffin for Pope Paul the VI,
right?
Because of the body that was in there was a false pope, and it was the false pope who had been placed on the seat of Peter when they killed Pope Paul.
I think if I remember, and I was just a little boy, when Pope Pius the 12th who died, they had him in like a glass enclosure or something, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. Okay, well, we're going to have to watch this unfold. I would assume this could happen sooner than later.
Well, his exile starts right about the same time our country is going to be invaded, because his exile will last almost the very same length of time.
Now, when you talk about invasion, you're talking about troops, or you're talking about aliens that cross the border?
No, we've already been invaded.
Our
government is setting up the circumstances to make it very possible. Now, I get letters from some military people who are telling me how, look, this could never happen. And I'm trying to remind them, look, I'm prime military. I was actually with the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
One would call you, if this were wartime and you were around, you'd probably be a wartime chaplain right about now, wouldn't you?
No.
You would not do that?
No.
Oh, all right.
I'm needed more elsewhere.
Okay. But you are pro-military.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I believe it's everyone's duty to defend their country, defend their families, and their, be patriotic. And but this is why I remind people, go back and read the predictions of George Washington about how our country is supposed to be invaded. There are a number of different things that are being allowed so that society and mankind can redeem itself. That's our purpose. Our government has allowed our public in return has allowed the government to go into such corruption that we need to redeem ourselves. And part of that redemption comes with a chastisement.
Who would invade us, though, Father?
The invasion is actually going to be in part from a united Russian and Chinese force with other communist forces in the world. A lot of people don't realize how communism is not dead. The Soviet Union is returning to communism as we're speaking right now. The Chinese are building a navy that's beyond comprehension.
Well, it is right now the world's largest navy, is it not?
Yes. I mean, they're building aircraft carriers that are 2 and 3 times the size of ours. And they say in a peacetime they don't need such things. They're preparing for war.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that they've done in the last week, and that is this proclamation, this law that says that if Taiwan decides to declare its independence from China, then they have given themselves the legal authority to go in and declare war and do whatever they have to
and
do.
And they've reiterated that we better not get involved.
Prophecies of Father Andrew Wingate. Father, because you've brought up aircraft carriers, when we come back after the break, I do want to ask you about the USS America.
Okay.
You did make a prediction on my program several years ago that a battleship or an aircraft carrier would be sank, and I want to talk about that. And also, since you were last on, Sister Lucia passed away.
Yes.
And I want to talk about what this means in terms of prophecy, and there's so much more. Father Wingate, of course, in February talked about another tsunami taking place, and just today I had a story that some geologists are predicting that indeed there could be another tsunami within months, if not a few years, out there in that same area that had this horrible one on December 26th. So that is a possibility as well. TrumpetersMission.com is the website. Father, up and running, ready for people to go to it?
Yes.
Okay, very
no
good.
Problem.
Father Andrew Wingate, of course, comes on. He has, how many priests are with you who also work on prophecy, Father?
One bishop, 1, 2, 3 priests.
Now, is it based on common sense, or do you get these feelings? How does this happen?
No, it's they themselves are mystics, and it's only whenever they do or don't have visions. And we compare whatever we believe we've been told or shown, and it's put together, and we try to figure it out. Sometimes we get things that are very, very clear, and sometimes it's like trying to put a jigsaw puzzle together.
It is. One of the difficult things, too, of course, is always putting a date to these prophecies, right?
We usually do no time periods. We have something we were just shown this last week about a terrible bacterial contamination coming that's going to cause a massive loss of life.
All right, let's talk about that as well when we come back with the prophecies of Father Andrew Wingate. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. Coast to coast and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And our special guest tonight, Father Andrew Wingate and his prophecies. The After Dark CD is available to you still. I don't know for how long. It's a double CD, bumper music, unforgettable calls to the show, classic ghost stories, including H.G. Wells and some Edgar Allan Poe. It's available by going to www.afterdarkcd.com or call this toll-free number, 1-800-598-2331. And it is a very affordable CD, as a matter of fact. 1-800-598-2331 or afterdarkcd.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Father Andrew Wingate. Father, several years ago, you were talking about the possibility of a USS battleship or an aircraft carrier, one of our own, would be sunk by us. Lo and behold, I see a story several weeks ago, and I even pulled an old clip of you out and played it on Coast to Coast, that we are going to take out to the Atlantic, which is where you said this would happen, a battleship, it's an aircraft carrier, the USS America, and we're going to sink it because they want to see how long it takes to sink. And is that what you were talking about?
No.
It is not?
Nope, but that is exactly why they're doing it. They want to know how fast can they sink that ship and how fast can they sink another one. And they want to know where will it take where they can put all the charges to have it sink as quick as possible. And one of the things that was very evident in the vision about that happening was that the ship sank extremely fast and allowed only about 50 survivors. And so for a ship that size to sink that quickly is going to take some very key points of being detonated so that the different chambers, the fail-safe chambers, will not be able to be effective.
And what would the reasoning be for the sinking of an aircraft carrier?
Well, this one that they're going to, not the U.S. America, but the one that's coming to be sunk, is so that they can drum up the support of the American public to continue to fight in another war. At that time period that the world's going to be in our country, we're going to be involved in three other military conflicts, which I've spoken about. And I've been trying to tell people that when that time comes, our citizenry is going to demand that our government get out of these wars, that we don't want to be in them. We've got ourselves too heavily dispersed, and we consider ourselves too weakened, and we want to get out. And the only way that the government will be able to keep the public support is by trying to drum up another, remember the Alamo, remember the Maine, and it'll be, remember this next ship. So they will sink that ship so they can say, see, people, we can't give up. We have to keep going. We have to keep fighting. So stand behind us and stop demanding that we get out of these wars.
And this is a vision.
Yes.
I mean, because common sense would tell you this is not going to happen.
Then again, common sense said that when I spoke about the hurricanes coming in a place that have never had hurricanes in the South Pacific, and a country that's never had one coming out of season, didn't make sense either. And the 30 days before the space shuttle, that didn't make sense either. There's a lot of these things that don't make sense, but that's only because we don't see the vision itself in its future tense and under those conditions. That's what makes it hard for a lot of people to understand visions, because they're trying to look at them under the present condition, the way things are at this moment.
And I want to point out that these are visions, prophetic visions, that you and the other mystics see. You're not sitting around trying to interpret politics, saying,
no,
this is what these people are going to do.
Right.
You have this feeling. Now, when these visions come to you, I mean, do they come to you in a dream form? How does it occur?
No, the only things that come in dreams are the things that I am taught. I have mystical dreams, which are education, and they do teach me about how to handle circumstances and different conditions that are coming. But the prophetic dreams are for one of the particular priests. He actually, at the time of the consecration, after consecrating, he sets the chalice down, and he will gaze into the chalice, and he said it's like watching TV. He said he sees a whole scene transpire within just a second, and what would take maybe 5-10 minutes to describe, he sees and understands within just a short period of time.
I did not know you prior to 9/11. However, I do have to ask you if you and the other mystics saw any of this or anything similar to that tragedy.
All we saw was that we saw our country being attacked, and we saw, no one saw that exact building or that
planes
exact,
going into the buildings. You didn't see that.
Well, we saw what looked like missiles coming through the air. We didn't identify them as airplanes.
Okay.
So the next matter of fact, when I had seen it, was the next day when it happened. And I was talking to several workers we had out here helping us in our community, and I said, well, it appears that these missiles have struck. And then it was later in the day when we found out it was actually airplanes. And I was really surprised, because I had not even thought that someone would do that.
Okay. Sister Lucia has passed away.
Right.
And, of course, the last survivor of Fatima, taking with her, as she passed on, to the Pope and to the Vatican, the third secret. And I'm still not sure, though the Vatican says it's been released to us, I don't think we know what it is, quite frankly. Do you believe we know the third secret of Fatima?
we don't know it from the release of the Vatican. We know it from what has been released through other sources. There's a Father Bennett who has been traveling around the world revealing what is in the secret because he's read it, and the Pope told him he could never reveal the whole thing at one time. He said, you can talk about it, but don't discuss the whole thing at any one time. He said, let the people put the pieces together. So he'll say a little bit here, say a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, and tell people, put it together.
What do you think it is?
It actually refers to the church being corrupted and actually the church being taken over. It refers to communism actually being victorious in the world. This was one reason why John the 23rd was so afraid to release it, because that was at the time of the Bay of Pigs and the other things that were going on with conflicts with communism, and he was so afraid that this would encourage the enemies of the church to become even bolder, so he held it back, even though he did reveal it to John, President John Kennedy, and then to Gorbachev. He revealed Khrushchev. So he told those two, and then those two just backed off, and they both went into their space programs, and they avoided military conflicts as much as they could. It also refers to when the chastisements would come, that whole nations would vanish and disappear. The little bit that they did release was the description of how John Paul II would be attacked, and how at the end he would be assassinated, and how there would be an anti-pope who assassinated him. A lot of the things that help to verify these different visions or these different messages like this are visions that other saints in history who have had them, like St. John Bosco and others, who have described these things in this century, and even 100 years before. And it takes some real detective work to go and gather up the different messages that have been received from credible sources, put them together, and say, here's the picture. We can see with good reason what we have a good reason to believe that this is true. And the only reason why heaven gives these predictions like this is so that people can then, with good faith, put the things together and have a reasonable understanding of what's going on, and at the same time realize how much evil has taken over in the world and how important it is for society and individuals to put God first in our lives and not ourselves.
See, I think evil will always get defeated by good. Am I being too naive?
No, it will, but why give it so much advantage?
True.
It's like saying, let it go out there and let the pedophiles be on the playground, okay? Because eventually they will be arrested. Well, dang it, don't let them on it in the first place.
Yeah, get them first. Now, the death of Sister Lucia,
yeah,
that by itself, does that have any prophetic meaning to us?
What I know from it, I only spoke to her on one occasion for a few minutes in Rome in 1990 or 1991. And the only comments, because I told her that I knew she did not have long to live, she said, well, when me and my sister pass, His Holiness is all alone. And she said, because a certain particular priest, which is Father Gino, she said he's imprisoned. Her and her sister that she was referring to was Mother Teresa. So that when Mother Teresa and Sister Lucy are dead, she was saying, okay, now we are to know that he is on his own and he knows he's in his last period of time to get things done.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where we are then right now.
Mm-hmm. And because she had been trying to see the Pope for about 7 days when she gave me a letter, and I was hoping to see the Pope the next morning. I didn't have an appointment, but my guardian angel had told me, just go to the door and stand there anyway. And so I did. I went the next morning, and one of the Swiss guards came to the door and pointed at me and said, aren't you the one who's supposed to see the Holy Father this morning? And I said, yes. So he took the clipboard from one of the ushers. He wrote my name on it, gave it to him, and told him, let me in. And he called me in. But I didn't have an appointment. And then after all this was over with, I went back and was visiting with some other mystics, and one of them told me, she said, you didn't recognize your angel, did you? And I said, what angel? She said, that Swiss guard was your guardian angel. And I said, I'll be doggone.
That's interesting. Let's go back. Let's talk about some of your past prophecies. Back in February, you talked about another tsunami hitting Asia. And today I had a story that some geologists are saying that it looks highly likely that there will be another underwater earthquake. It will be huge, could happen in months, maybe a few years in that same region, and create a tsunami. So maybe, you know, I can't say you're right or wrong on that one, but it's appearing that something's happening there.
Well, people have to understand that the predictions of the different events, some events, like when I say, okay, something's going to happen within 30 days, if it doesn't happen in 30 days, then I'm wrong, you know, and then it's very seldom you're going to ever hear me say that, and they do occur in that 30-day period of time.
Yeah.
Most all the different events, when they're predicted, occur within that year. So sometimes I may give like 5, 6, 7, 10 predictions, and then two or three of them occur very quickly, and then maybe 2, 3 months later, another one. But almost always within a year, 1 year's time from the time of the predictions, they all occur.
Are you ever wrong? Maybe you've misinterpreted the visions. Is this possible?
Whenever I say this is what heaven says, it's always been right. Whenever I have said this is what I'm expecting or I think is going to happen, I've been wrong a number of times.
You've been wrong. Okay. And I guess better to lead with what heaven tells you than your gut.
Well, that's because people will ask me, well, what do you think? And I say, well, this is what I think. But my guessing is really bad. It's seriously, I mean, really, it is
right.
Bad. I have to really make sure that I don't use any guessing,
right?
Because I'm usually wrong.
Okay, and we should qualify everything you say then with where it's coming
from.
If I
put it on my website, then this is exactly what heaven said. And so far, I have 100% that they occur within a year and a half. I've always known them always to transpire. So, I get a lot of mail saying, okay, they haven't happened, you're false. You have to give it time. These things cannot happen all in 1 week.
You predicted that Mount St. Helens would erupt, and quite frankly, it's been burping pretty heavily.
It has already erupted.
Not huge, but I still think that huge eruption's going to come.
It's still coming.
Yeah, I can't say you're wrong on that one. There's a high likelihood that's going to happen. And have you made a prediction at all about Yellowstone National Park?
Yes, I said that it would not be the great huge eruption that people think it is. It's actually going to be a huge sinkhole.
Is that coming from you or heaven?
That's coming from heaven.
I hope that one's right, because that could be a disaster if something happened there.
Yeah, because I had asked, because so many people were writing me email, and I asked heaven, and about 2 weeks later, the angel told me, he said that what they were expecting is not correct. He said this will be a sinkhole. And it would be a reverse action. So he didn't give a time period or anything like that. So that's one of those things I say, okay, it's going to happen someday.
You have predicted that a coal mine would either occur a fire in the U.S. or Europe and would lead to a large evacuation.
Yes.
Hasn't really happened yet, though. We did have a coal mine problem in China, and they lost some people.
No, that hasn't occurred yet that I can find on any of the news wires.
Okay.
I've been checking on the different news wires. I watch them pretty close, and we have some people who help me, because not everything gets on the 6 o'clock news. And is there one particular event on the tsunamis that struck in India? There was, I'm trying to find it on my computer right now that I think of it. The reporter registered a report on the British newswire that he had gone to several cities through India where the tsunami had hit. And in this one particular city, he had come and he found out that Not a single Christian died in that town from the tidal wave.
Not one?
Not single one died. And the way it happened was that the Muslims and the non-Christians refused to let any of the Christians have any public Christian celebrations for Christmas. So they told them, if you want to do it, go out of town. So they left the town and went about a mile out of town on a high hill. And on this hill, they all gathered there for Christmas. And they spent the night there, Christmas Eve, and also Christmas Day, planning to come down the next day. Well, it was the next morning when the tsunami struck. Every single Christian in that whole town was on that hill. And the Muslims themselves even had a statement in the newspaper saying, the Christian God has punished us for our rejection of him and his people. Well, and this was a news release on the British Newswire. And I'm sure others can go ahead and hunt it up and they can find it too. But people have to understand these things happen as tests of faith and also as punishments.
Well, I got to tell you, Father, the revelations are there. Top of the hour, I want to talk with you about the Antichrist.
Okay.
Get your feelings on whether you think he or she may still be on this planet.
Oh, it hasn't changed. It's all still the same.
Are you hopeful for the future?
Yes, I am. I otherwise, heaven would not say these things. Heaven would not give us the information that is needed to prepare and actually to do what is necessary to survive. If there wasn't really a hope, there wasn't any anything to have to look forward to, it would be futile. But no, it is. I see a future that is even greater than what we're going through now. But it's surviving the purification process, and that is all left up to mankind. Is how bad do we want it to be? You know, how severe do we feel that we must be chastised and punished before we say, okay, God, we return to you.
All right, so we will do that when we come back at the top of the hour. We're going to talk with Father Wingate about some of his continuing predictions, the Antichrist, and also some kind of bacterial contamination. We'll talk with him about that, get his take on the bird flu, for example, and some other issues. A little bit later on in the program, yes, indeed, what we will do is open up the phone lines. I may even open them up a little earlier because a lot of you have been trying to call him all night. So we may do that at the half of the next hour. I'm George Norrie. Just ahead, Father Andrew Wingate and more predictions on Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.